You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We start a new year in just a few weeks, and with that in mind, what does it mean to have closure? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary has several definitions, but the one our New Wisco team likes is, quote, a comforting or satisfying sense of finality. We'll tell you more about why we're looking at the idea of closure in a positive way a little later in this issue. Our cover story shines a light on the Fox City's Victim Crisis Response. It's a group dedicated to supporting people on the worst day of their lives. Whether confronted with a crime or a traumatic event, learn how these important volunteers are there to provide support and resources. Amanda Nimmer's commentary is in the spirit of the holiday season. She shares tips and tricks so you at least have a chance to win at gift giving. We have stories from Savannah Tomei Olson. She looks at the County Health Roadmap, which houses vital health information. So why could it disappear? We'll find out. Isabella Nieto and Maddie Schaefer explain how the hemp industry will be impacted when new laws take effect. Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week, one that looks at the afterlife with humor. And later, the group Doctors in Recital fills us with the perfect prescription in the form of some great music. It's coming up in about 45 minutes. Music also opens up this issue of New Wisco Weekend. There's a holiday television show that grew out of a book written more than 80 years ago. But the message about self-acceptance and how being different can be a strength still rings true today. So do the songs composed to go with it. Terry Barr has the story about the reindeer with the bright red nose and the surprising way it links Christmas magic to Northeast Wisconsin.
Picture the holidays, and you probably can't help but hear the jingling melody of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
The 1964 animated classic is still a yearly tradition for millions. But what many of you may not know, as Rudolph leads Santa through the fog, the best gift in the sleigh could be the strong Wisconsin connection, thanks to a gifted composer who quietly made Appleton his creative home.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Maury Laws, the musical director behind the Rankin-Bass stop-motion special, wrote and arranged so much of the music that helps give Rudolph its nostalgic charm. And after years of working in New York's bustling television world, Laws and his family moved to Appleton in the early 1980s, where he continued arranging and composing from his home studio. His years here were remarkably productive. He created and refined hundreds of musical pieces long after leaving those bright lights of Manhattan behind. Emily Locke is with the Oshkosh Museum and says Rudolph remains at the center of countless holiday memories.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Now, Laws didn't stop with Rudolph. He also worked on classics like Frosty the Snowman, contributing melodies that have become part of our cultural soundtrack. But also tucked into his long career is one kind of surprising musical detour, a quirky pop tune that became an instant hit. Do you remember this one?
It was an
Yes, the same composer who helped bring Rudolph and Frosty to life also delivered one of the catchiest novelty songs, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini is a tune that still pops up at some beach parties and, of course, throwback events.
Now she's afraid to come out of the water.
Maury Laws passed away in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on, not just as holiday nostalgia, but as a unique piece of Wisconsin's cultural history. And every December, when Rudolph's bright red nose glows once again on TV screens all across the country, a little bit of Appleton shines right there with it.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
I'm Terry Barr.
You'll go down in history.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. My favorite part of New Wisco Weekend is Amanda Nimmer's commentary. And this week, she does not disappoint.
For some reason, as we age, we get into this sort of feeling around the holidays of struggling to find that cheer, find that pizzazz, that motivation to really dig deep down and give to the ones we love. In fact, I've even had family members say that they don't really even feel like thinking anything about Christmas gifts, because what's the point? You're basically paying X amount to give someone something who paid X amount to give you something. So why not just do cash, like just save the hassle? I say to you, you just need to rethink it. I lost my mojo for a few years, I will not lie, when it came to giving gifts. Just had nothing in me. Yay, depression, it'll do that to you. But I recently got it back because I had to remind myself, and I'm here to remind you too, that gift giving can be a competition. Do you have that nature in you where you have to win? That need, that necessity to feel the good feelings of conquering. All you gotta do is reframe the way you think about it. For instance, some people think that gift giving is simply someone gives you a list, you pick something off of it. I call that boring. No wonder that holiday feeling this during the winter solstice is missing from you, because you're being boring about it. So how are you gonna make it an achievement? Something to strive for, something to win at? Well, for me, I look at gift giving as something I have to prove. I try to gather information throughout the months, be it for birthdays, anniversaries, whatever. Anytime a gift needs to be given, my simple goal is to show that I know the person. It's more like proving that I know the person. So how do you do that? Well, you have to listen with your ears and your heart, but mostly with your ears. Gather little bits of information. Notice little things. For instance, and I can say this freely because my partner doesn't listen to this. And if he does, I just ruined his gift. But my partner in the morning, he skips breakfast all the time because he wakes up a little late and he just doesn't think about eating ever. And then he heads to work and he's hungry all day and he just eats when he gets back. And for me, I'm like, you know what? I feel like that's a bit of a problem. So my solution, my gift proving that I know a person and that perhaps this is exactly what he needs, is to get him a cereal cup. It's called a crunch cup. It features a dual chamber system to keep cereal and milk separate until you're ready to eat it. The cereal will remain crunchy and you get to control the flow of the milk. Designed to be spill-proof, easily portable, perfect, perfection. I call that a win. And I know it's a lot to have to remember things for someone all year long, and that's why you have to make use of your little notes app on your phone. I have a Christmas list constantly that I use in my phone. I'm always shopping sales. If there's a clearance section, you can bet that I'm there looking, because while I do love people, I don't have a lot of money. And there's nobody who says that a gift has to be about how much you spent. That's where the meaning comes in, the heart. The winning through knowledge of a person comes in. And you remove those clearance stickers so that they never know. And then you shop year round for these people. You mark it down on the list. If you see something that you think they need, you put it on the list. You store it hidden in your weird little sort of attic. And thankfully, because of the list, you'll never forget that you have it. That is how you shop year round for people. That is how you bring back the competitive caringness of the holiday season. And I do not recommend that when they smile and go, oh my God, this is great, this is exactly what I need, or maybe even if they tear up a little bit, don't go booyah or something, you know? That's an internal celebration for a later time. That's how you keep the spirit alive and on a budget. Signing off for one final time, and thank you all for listening. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Provision in the funding bill that reopened the federal government could change the U.S. hemp industry. Several of our reporters within Civic Media have been looking into the issue. First, here's Isabella Nieto.
The provision closes a loophole created in 2018 that allows for the development and sale of hemp-derived products. Amy and Paul Yonzer are co-founders of Forward Beverage Company in Wausau. They sell non-alcoholic beverages and what they call social seltzers, which contain hemp-derived CBD and THC. Paul says the ban would change what they're able to sell.
There was language put into that bill that made the legal limit of THC from hemp 0.4 milligrams, which would effectively ban 95% of the products in the hemp market right now.
Over 50% of Forward Beverage Company's sales are their THC drinks, Amy said. She said if the ban takes effect, they would have to find other ingredients for their drinks.
Another plan that we have for our business, because we're a non-alc company, is to lean into other types of plants and adaptogens to create functional beverages.
Wisconsin Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point has introduced legislation aimed at keeping the hemp industry open in Wisconsin. He spoke with Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
We want to provide some framework and a pathway for this industry to continue to operate and grow here in the state, despite some of the setbacks that we've had at the federal level.
Teston's proposal provides guidelines for growing and selling hemp and would regulate how much THC can be included in consumable THC products.
The legislation that we've put forth seeks to implement some of those basic guardrails and ensure that these products aren't falling in the hands of kids and others.
If Congress doesn't pass new legislation keeping the industry open, the hemp ban will take effect next September. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, Civic Media's Maddie Schaefer spoke with another person in the industry.
Ignite Dispensary is one of many businesses that would be affected by the new law. Spokesperson Tim Fry says the news was shocking and that the law was a must-pass bill to reopen the government. He says given the federal shift, he's been meeting with state lawmakers to make changes in Wisconsin.
So we are lobbying super hard to actually get a hemp bill passed in Wisconsin. If that happens, if that doesn't happen and federal stays the same, every store is out of business, basically. 95% of the products will be taken off of the market.
Fry says that the medicinal properties of hemp help a lot of people, including veterans with PTSD and older adults with chronic pain. Meanwhile, some communities in Wisconsin have started to crack down on cannabis-containing substances, prohibiting the sale to people under 21 and implementing other measures. I'm Maddie Schaefer.
Most of Wisconsin's neighbors won't be affected by the change. Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan have legalized recreational marijuana. A study from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that 3 out of every 10 residents in Wisconsin, 21 or older, live within 1 hour's drive of a legal recreational marijuana dispensary. Still to come, our cover story. Cheryl Dingman joins us to talk about a volunteer group that's there to help a person on their worst day ever. A snowstorm hindered the official start of the local holiday shopping on Small Business Saturday, so Governor Tony Evers just issued a Shop Small Wisconsin Season proclamation. It asks all of us to support the small businesses around our state. Evers called these local shops the heart of our communities. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host.
Coming up in just a bit, Savannah Tomei Olson will be taking a look at a collection of information on health in Wisconsin. It's broken down by counties, but it may disappear soon. She'll tell us why. But first, finding closure can be difficult when you no longer have a body. Here's Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Are you in the mood for a good remake? One of my favorites is this week's classic pick. The film Heaven Can Wait is a descendant of the stage play Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which eventually made it to the silver screen in 1941. 1978's Heaven Can Wait stars Hollywood legend Warren Beatty, who plays Joe Pendleton, a quarterback for the LA Rams, who is about to play in his first Super Bowl. While riding his bike to rehab his knee, Pendleton collides with an oncoming car in a tunnel, or so we think. An overly eager escort from Heaven, played by Buck Henry, pulls Pendleton's soul out of his body early to spare him the physical pain. The film is a hilarious adventure as the escort, with the help of his boss, Mr. Jordan, played by the perfectly cast James Mason, tries to find a body for Pendleton's soul, eventually settling on heartless millionaire Leo Farnsworth, who is poisoned by his wife Julia, played by Diane Cannon, and her lover, Farnsworth's assistant, Tony Abbott, played by Charles Grodin. The two are hilarious as they can't figure out why Farnsworth is so hard to take out.
You locked me in a closet.
Only for a moment.
What did you say to him?
I told him you saw a mouse.
Oh, my God.
But, darling, look, I'm not very good at spur-of-the-moment alibis. I'm very calm. Oh. I'm not very good.
What's the difference? He knows anyway. He's probably got enough evidence to lock us away for the rest of our lives.
Darling, I don't understand this. I saw him inhale the nose spray. Two full squirts in each nostril.
He never really inhaled it, did he? He overheard it somehow. That must have been what had happened. I mean, maybe he's got us bugged right now. Maybe everything is recorded.
No, why, darling. Not? We're not being recorded. An electronics expert sweeps the place every day. He's afraid of being bugged, too, darling.
He's playing with us. That's what it is. This is a game. Oh my God, he's playing a game with us. That's what it is. You locked me in a closet. What?
Hello.
Mr. Farnsworth would like to see you now.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Would you excuse me, Mrs. Farnsworth?
Yes, of course, Mr. Abbott.
In an effort to keep his dream of playing quarterback in the Super Bowl alive, Beatty's character, now in the body of the rich Farnsworth, buys the Rams. Further complicating the plot is that Farnsworth falls in love with Betty Logan, an activist protesting one of Farnsworth's business ventures played by Julie Christie. The film is an interesting enough story that is well acted and hilarious at times, thanks to the comedy chops of Henry, Grodin, Cannon, and Jack Warden, who plays a football coach. The film was co-directed by Beatty and Buck Henry and co-written by Beatty and heavy hitter writer Elaine May. The collaboration of all these talented folks nabbed 9 Oscar nominations and 1 win for art direction. Heaven Can Wait is the perfect film as the NFL playoffs get underway, or if you need a laugh or like a good love story. And it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
A gold mine of health data for the state of Wisconsin could soon disappear. Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson has that story.
For the last 15 years, the Population Health Institute at UW-Madison has put together a database called County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. It compiles all kinds of health data for basically every county in the nation. Sherry Johnson leads the project.
What people often think is that health is largely produced by health care, which is super important, but it's only part of the story. And so we know that the community conditions that we create as a society are really important for producing population health. So things like access to parks and libraries where people can connect and have strong social connections and access to information, things like having a safe, affordable house to live in a neighborhood where you feel like you belong, adequate income for families so they can meet their basic needs.
The data is accessible to anybody, but it's especially vital to healthcare systems and government health departments. They're able to pinpoint exactly where people may have unmet needs and could use their help.
Our primary audiences tend to be the governmental public health system, the broader public health system that includes a range of community-based organizations like United Ways and food banks and organizations that are serving the daily needs and interests of people in their community. And then healthcare is a big contingent.
but the project's funding is ending. The main donor was the Wood Foundation, based in New Jersey. They said they'd be ending their support after 2026. One leader from SSM Health told the Cap Times they were devastated, and another from Aspirus called it incredibly disappointing and concerning.
Rural communities, smaller, underserved and under-resourced communities are particularly concerned about the loss of this resource because we make it efficient for them to do the work that they're charged with doing. And they have told us that our information and data and evidence is trustworthy, it's reliable, it makes their jobs easier to do. And so we want to be able to be in a position to continue to do that if at all possible.
This comes at a time when the Trump administration has removed health information from government websites. They deleted information about opioid use disorder, AIDS, and pregnancy risks. Health advocates sued, and the administration agreed to restore more than 100 resources they had deleted. Johnson says the county rankings and roadmaps data is more important than ever, and she's searching for other funding sources.
There are lots of changes happening at the federal level that are making it very difficult to know whether we'll have reliable access to data for decision making going forward. So this is a really important historical data resource that we want to preserve, even if we don't find new funding. But optimally, it would be great to find a way to continue to provide this county level data to the 700,000 plus people that come to the website. To use it, to learn from it, to do research with it.
As many as 30 employees' positions could be impacted if the Population Health Institute does not find new funding. But Johnson says beyond just her department, health leaders all over the nation could lose vital information they use to care for their communities. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
More ahead on New Wisco Weekend, Doctors in Recital and our cover story.
There'll be peace on earth, but instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS, WGBW, and Civic Media News. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. On what could be described as the worst day of someone's life, there's a group of volunteers in Winnebago and Outagamie counties that are there to help. These dedicated, compassionate people come with a warm shoulder and information and resources to help. They're called the Victim Crisis Response Team. Cheryl Dingman is their volunteer coordinator and community outreach manager, and she joins us on New Wisco Weekend. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell me what it is exactly that you guys do.
Sure. So we are also known as VCRs, so that might make it a little bit easier for people to understand who we are. But law enforcement gets on scene, and then they will determine and ask the victims if they would like some extra support. They have to have that permission from them in order to page us out. So then they will tell dispatch. Dispatch pages us out. So we all get a phone call and we all get a text message. And then whoever's on call, they are the ones that respond.
So what do you do when you respond to an incident?
So when we respond, and let's use domestic violence as an example. So when we get on scene, the first thing is the officers will give us a little brief synopsis of what the situation was. They will let us know if the offender is in custody or not in custody, or if they're going to bail out, because that all plays a part in how long we're going to be on scene and how quickly we need to get right down to the gist of everything that needs to be dealt with. So we have a bunch of resources that we use. We have different domestic violence shelters that we refer to depending on the counties. And we cover all of Winnebago, all of Outagamie. And then we talk about like the power and control. We talk about if there's children on scene. We talk about the effects of domestic violence and the long-term effects that it can have. We go through all of those different things just to help them understand that, number one, they're not alone in this. Number two, there are ways to get out of it. But a lot of them feel so stuck that they can't get out of it. So our job and our goal is to support them in helping them make those decisions. We can't tell them what to do, but we can lay them out in front of them and then help guide them in the best way that potentially could help them.
The VCR is not just a group of, say, therapists that go to crisis situations. These are people who come with resources and actual help.
Correct. So I have a team of about, I think we're at 48 volunteers right now. So myself and my director are the only two paid positions. And then I am the volunteer coordinator and the community outreach manager. And I do all the training for the volunteers. I do all the interviewing for the volunteers. And then I will give them everything that they need to go out and serve these people in our community.
What are the types of resources that you share with people? Like, let's say, since our theme this week is finding closure, one of the things that you have to find closure from is a death. So let's say that there was a sudden death, and you know, the police are there and all this. What are some of the things that you guys would do?
So I think in the moment, people don't really realize when that sudden death happens, everything that's going to come after that. And because you're in that moment of flight or freeze, their mind goes into survival mode. The adrenaline takes over. They sit there and they try to just take in that moment. So some of the things that we'll leave, let's just say, I'll use an example of, let's say grandma passed away in her sleep. That could be a sudden death to somebody. Whereas maybe a suicide could be a sudden death for somebody else. But we are leaving a list of all the funeral homes in all the counties that we serve. We cannot recommend a funeral home. We just give them a list and let them do their homework. So it has all the phone numbers, all of the addresses. We have a list of what to do next. And that list is actually 4 pages long. People don't realize how much needs to happen. But there's no timeline on it. It's just, oh, I never thought that I needed to contact the Social Security office. Oh, I didn't realize that the banks had all of this information. I didn't realize I needed to contact life insurance. And sometimes maybe you need an attorney. Maybe you need to figure out what all has to go into the obituary. There's a list of all these things that we put on this form that we give them. And it's just called What to Do Next.
I really like that because, you know, as somebody who has gone through stuff like that, you sit there and you're like frozen. As you said, it's flight or freeze. And it's, what do I do? Who do I call? I don't know what's next. This is something that's never happened to me before. So what are the types of events that the VCR does come out to?
We actually go to every and anything that you can imagine. So we'll have what we call a PNB, which is a pulseless non-breather. So that could just be somebody passing away in their sleep. It could be an overdose. It could be a suicide. It could be domestic violence. It could be a death notification. Law enforcement will bring us with them to notify a family of someone's death. Maybe somebody passed away in another state. And then now the family lives here, then they will reach out and say, can you go with us? Because while they are the ones that actually deliver that news, we are the ones that are there to scoop them up and help support them in that shocking information that's just getting dropped into their lap. Homicides, mm-hmm. I've been on several of those. And those are very long calls. Fraud. There's a lot of fraud going on. So while we don't always get paged to that scene, we will deal with it over the phone. So we have different levels of things that we do. Our main one is that we get paged out by law enforcement. Sometimes the scenes aren't safe for us to be on scene. Sometimes we will go to the police station and meet those victims because that offender has taken off, but it's not safe for us to all be at the house. So we will bring the victim to the police station. Sometimes the victim doesn't want anybody on scene in that moment, but yet they opt in for victim services. So we will make that phone call and get them connected to resources. And we just call those our crime support resolution what we do. So we have different levels of different things that we do, and we have different volunteers that just really excel at those different levels. Of some don't go on scene, some just do all the phone calls.
Let me ask you this too. If somebody thought, this is something that I would like to be a part of, I think I can help, I'm empathetic, I'm sympathetic, how would they volunteer with you?
So they would have to go to our website, which is victimcrisisresponse.org. There is a place to fill out an application on there. We only do trainings twice a year because they are very in-depth, and because this isn't just something that you wake up and decide you want to do. You really have to feel called to do something like this because it's not for everybody. I think a lot of people have this idea that they want to be able to help people. And I love that about people. But once you get into the crux of it and what it all entails, then they think, ooh, I didn't know that it was going to be this in depth. I didn't know that I was going to see this or experience that, or the lasting impact it can have on you after you leave that call. There are several calls, I'll just speak for myself, that I have been on that I'll never forget. They have a lasting impact. I've had to kind of take some time to process it, to talk to somebody about it. So I'm really big on the self-care of my team, because what we walk into, it's TV has fantasized what trauma really is. And when you walk into somebody's home and maybe their loved one has died by suicide, and that's the last thing they saw, that doesn't go away. And when you sit with somebody in that and you allow them and give them a safe place to grieve, to show their emotions, to just let down their guard and just really sit in that grief of what they've just lost, it has a lasting impact. So not everybody can do this job. And these are volunteers. Like, these people are giving up their time, their days off, to go out and help serve somebody else. So a lot of my volunteers have regular day jobs or jobs in general. And on their time off, or when they're, you know, they could be home with their family, they could be in the warmth of their own home, but they're choosing to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go and support a family who just lost a child. Or, you know, we have to deliver the news of another death. There's a lot of death that we deal with, a lot.
And that cannot be easy.
It's not. I'm not going to say that it is, because there are days that if it starts to get robotic, then you shouldn't be in this anymore. If you start to lose that care and that empathy and that desire to want to make a difference because it just becomes so regular for you, then you shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Is there anything about the VCR or about your job here in the Fox Cities that you want to mention that we haven't touched on?
I think probably the one thing I want to let people know is that we are a 501c3 organization. Our funding did get cut big time through the government. We have had to really find other resources to help keep this going. But the stamina of my team and the desire to want to go out and make a difference in the community and to be able to leave a lasting impact, I mean, that's what keeps us going. I mean, people recognize it. They see it. They throw fundraisers for us of families that we've helped in the past. They've reached out and said, we want to keep doing this every year for you. That's, I would say, you know, I don't think people realize that you have this group of volunteers that are literally just giving everything that they have, and they're not getting paid to go out and help other people. That it's amazing. A lot of people will say that we are like unsung heroes is what they call us. And I love that for my team. I love that people recognize it. We're quiet. Like, people don't even know that we exist because we are an extension of law enforcement. They're the ones who page us out. We just kind of follow them in. They introduce us. We kind of free up them so they can do their investigation. And then we will sit with that family and kind of keep them occupied and do what we need to do so that they can do what they need to do.
Where does somebody go for more information or to help you?
I would say our website, the victimcrisisresponse.org, and there's a place to donate on there if you choose to donate, and there's the application. There, all of our resources that we hand out are also on our website. So if you have any questions about anything, and then the phone numbers are listed on there as well.
Cheryl Dingman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, be heaven on earth. The Christmas we get, we deserve.
It is the holiday season, and you may be asking yourself, why is the theme of New Wisco Weekend this week finding closure? Well, this is the last New Wisco Weekend for a while, at least at Civic Media. This has been one of the most rewarding shows I've ever been a part of, and I hope that you have enjoyed each and every issue we've put together. Each theme and show has been a labor of love to share with you the good things in Northeast Wisconsin and a look at the news in our state. This is not goodbye. It's see you later. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, Doctors in Recital in our musical segment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and we're wrapping up this issue with a unique group of musicians. Doctors practice the art of medicine, and some engage in the art of music. Doctors in Recital recently visited Civic Media's Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, and here's a bit of that appearance.
It is my pleasure to welcome back into the studio three of my absolute favorite people. They're here representing Doctors in Recital, Kim Shevchik, Chris, and Paul Piatt. Yay. And you guys are married, correct?
We are.
Yeah.
25 years.
25 years.
How are you guys? What is going on? Tell us, for people who have not been to a Doctors in Recital performance, give us a little background, Kim.
Well, what you will witness is, first, you're going to walk into the beautiful space of the Widener.
Yeah.
You know, one of a kind. We're great so facility. Lucky to have that gem in our community. And we have physicians and other healthcare team members putting together essentially a variety show. And then other musicians, some of our local talent in Northeast Wisconsin joins them on stage. And you'll see things that range from classical to pop to country to jazz. Sometimes we get really crazy and there's music theater. I mean, it's just, it's a wide variety. It's all to raise money for local nonprofits. And this year's theme is essentially helping and hunger in our community. So we nice. Have several nonprofits that help to feed their community. And we are fortunate to have just some wonderful nonprofits again this year. Every year it's somebody different. But and then we also support music education and the arts education. So that's also another subset of where our money that we raise goes. So we get sponsors and we've kind of closed up our books with that. And now it's all about ticket sales, which is, of course, one of the things we are asking our audience for. Yeah. Spread the word, because you can get a great ticket, support some local causes, enjoy wonderful music. These people will be on stage among many, many others. And it's just a fun night. And yeah. I don't know, like, people say, yeah, I heard of it, but like Doctors in Recital, and it does kind of, it's kind of a weird name, but now we've done it so long, we have to stick with it. It's not a recital.
Yeah.
It's more of just a cabaret variety. Kind of thing, variety, singing, instruments.
And it's very talented people.
Very, very talented.
The first time you guys were here, I remember watching a clip and thinking, oh, they're like medical people who invite these performers to town and you guys play background or something. But I'm like, they're all doctors or people in your field. Yeah. And you're a physician's assistant, right, Kim?
Yep.
So it's spectacular.
Yeah. Well, every act has to be headlined by a physician, and maybe they're not the headliner, but they're definitely going to be one of the main players, one of the main singers. They're organizing the act. So one of our performers, who's a neurosurgeon, I mean, he plays and he sings. One of our performers, who's a neurologist, he sings in a quartet, sings in kind of a more of a group. We've got all sorts of medical specialties involved, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's not just a bunch of people who think they're good. there's people who are actually
And if
good.
Those of you listening have health problems, this is the show to go to.
Yes.
Because if something does happen,
yes. Is
you
there
are
a doctor
covered.
In the house? You've got
There's
several.
Nothing but doctors in the house.
Yes.
Kim Shevchik, Paul, and Chris Piat are here. They are here representing Doctors in Recital, a great show. This year's show is in January. Every year it's in January,
It's always
right?
January. Either the last Saturday or the second last. This year we're on the 24th. So that last second to last Saturday in January, 7 p.m., and many people in our community probably already know this, but the Widener has kind of their own ticketing platform. So you can just go right to the Widener, their main page. You can find us there, get your tickets, and it's pretty easy peasy.
Can we hear some? Sure. Doctors in Recital.
Of New Wisco Weekend, Finding Closure. New Wisco Weekend is a Civic Media production written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr with features from Savannah Tomei Olson, Maddie Schaefer, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW. From the entire crew, be unstoppable.
But God who called me here below will be forever mine.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.